We're in 2 Peter again, and chapter 1. We're looking at verse 12. And Peter was telling about himself. Now, he told the Christians, you need to give diligence. Now, why would he tell them that if he was not going to do that himself? And so he says, I am going to give diligence to what God has called me to do. And of course, he was an apostle and a preacher of the gospel. And so he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent. And we were looking at that word negligent, which meant to be careless. And we said negligence can be of two kinds. We can either neglect our duty entirely and not do it, or we may do it in a poor and slack way. In other words, we may not be diligent and wholehearted in our carrying out of our duty. And either one of those would be a case of negligence. And we were saying that in the ministry of the gospel, it's something of such great importance, and it's such a great and glorious work that there's not to be negligence as we go about it. Now, what is it that Peter said he would not be negligent in? I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. You like being reminded? You know, we always make jokes about having trouble with our memories. But Peter says, one thing, one major primary thing that God would have me to do, that I dare not be negligent in the doing of, is to put God's people in remembrance. Have you ever thought of that as a major part of the Christian ministry? Putting people in remembrance? Peter did. That's what he says was his responsibility, that he was going to carry out to the best of his ability. Now, the word put in remembrance, it means to cause one to remember, to put one in mind, or to remind. Forgetfulness is when something goes out of your mind. Remembrance is putting it back in your mind, getting it back to where you're conscious of it again, where when you forget it, it's completely gone from your thinking. So that's really what we're saying here, to cause someone to remember or to remind them of something. Now, one of the basic things that this word conveys is the idea that this is a remembrance that is given to us by another outside of ourselves. You know, sometimes something will come to you and you recall it on your own. That's not the idea here. This is the idea that someone beside you, someone other than you, someone outside you, someone else reminds you of something. And that's what Peter's saying. I will do this for the people of God, the saints. Now, one thing the Bible does tell us is that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to be our remembrancer. John 14:26. Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? I mean, most of us here have read through the whole Bible, probably more than once. There's so much there. So many things that would help us and profit us at any given time or in any given situation if we could only have them in mind when we need them. And you say, how can you retain all that? So it's there for you when you really need it the most. Well, the Holy Spirit is there to help with that. He's our helper, and that's one of the main things he helps us with. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Right, his first ministry is a teaching ministry, but as we've sometimes put you on the spot about here in the past, Do you remember everything you're taught? I just heard a little thing about there was an editorial. Someone wrote in something about, I don't know why people go to church every Sunday. I've been to church every Sunday. I've heard over 300 sermons, and I can't remember a single one, so what good did it do me? And so, and, you know, it generated a lot of comments, right? People writing letters in response to that. But then someone wrote in and said, you know, in the last few years, my wife has made me probably over 300 meals. And I don't know if I remember a single one of those meals specifically, but I think if I hadn't eaten them, I would have been sick or dead by now, and they've done me a lot of good. And I think sermons tend to do that too. I hope so. Either that or I've been doing a lot of noise for no good reason. But God does work through His Word as it's proclaimed. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Notice, teach and remind of Christ's words to us. Well then, why should I need anybody to remind me? You know, have you ever told anyone that when they said, hey, do you remember where the Bible said? Oh, no, but don't bother. Don't need it. Holy Spirit will tell me if I should know that. Have you ever told anyone that? See, the Holy Spirit is there for us, but He's seen fit to be in others beside us. And He's in all of God's people. And He works through the Christians toward each other. And that's why we need each other. He doesn't just say, you got me, don't worry about it. You don't need anyone else. Even though He's all we need, He has so ordained things that He doesn't work independently of other Christians. Now, He teaches us all things, but the Bible says that we may comprehend with all the saints what is the height and depth and length and breadth. In other words, all together we come to this knowledge, not singly and independently. So, the Holy Spirit's our remembrancer, but this is also a function of believers toward one another. And especially, it's a main function of the ministry. Why should I have to preach to you from the Bible if you've read it? Have you ever read the Bible many times over and felt like it was the first time you ever read it? I didn't seem like I ever saw that before, or I totally forgot that was there, and then God speaks it to you and there it is. Or you may have just read something and someone would bring it to your mind and put a light on it for you or apply it in a certain way, and it's like, wow, that I never saw it like that. And remembrance, we can't be impatient with others when they're reminding us all the time. Remember how the Bible said this? Remember where the Lord said that? Remember where this happened in the Scriptures? And that's good. Well, let's see how the Bible does show that. 1 Timothy 4:6. It would be easy for me if I could just say, well, I taught on that once. I don't need to mention it ever again. That's covered. I can go on to something else. It doesn't work that way, does it? These things need to be hammered over and over again, and I use the word hammered intentionally. It says the words of the wise are like nails in a sure place. And you don't hit a nail once unless you're real good and it's in. You got to pound on it. Hit it a few times, sometimes more than once. Sometimes it bends or hits a knot. But nailing takes multiple blows. And that's, I think, what teaching does too. 1 Timothy 4:6, he mentions a number of truths. And he says this, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Just keep reminding him of these things I'm telling you here, Timothy. That's to be a good minister of Christ, nursed up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But, you know, a lot of people like to hear good yarns, stories. Tell me something interesting and new and different and maybe extra biblical to tickle my fancy. No, he says, refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather in the godliness. Or don't go into all these other extraneous areas that are of no value. Stick to godliness. Remind the brethren of the solid and wholesome truths of the Bible. That's to be a good minister. The rest is just trying to be maybe popular. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Again, he lays down a lot of principles regarding following and serving Christ. Of these things, put them in remembrance. He tells them the things they need to be taught, and he says, now remind them of these things and charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. See, a lot of people would rather get a lot of fluff and no meat because it's easy, it's enjoyable. It doesn't take a lot of thought or effort. And so, you know, it just keeps tickling their ears and keeping them happy, but it doesn't really profit them. Don't strive about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And you do it by putting them in remembrance of the things that the Scriptures teach. Titus 3:1. You know, Paul's given Titus directions for his teaching ministry. He's told him to speak the things which become sound doctrine. And talking to be a pattern of good works in his doctrine, showing forth sound speech. And then in verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, put them in mind. You know, our mind is very important. And the whole work of the ministry is to renew our minds after God's Word. And so we're always trying to put them in line with the will of God as it's revealed in the Scriptures and have them thinking God's thoughts after Him so that they're spiritually minded or sound-minded so that their lives will be godly. And they'll be doing what God would have them to do. And so he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. That should be our mindset. And as a man thinks, so is he. Get their minds where it should be, and then their lives will fall in line as well and be what God would have them to be. So here you have him. I won't be negligent to do this, Peter is saying. Peter, don't you get tired of going over the same ground over and over again? No. If I did, I'd be negligent. But I won't be, because the Lord wouldn't have me be. Hey, you know how Peter learned how valuable this is? The Lord did this very thing for Peter. Remember when? After he denied Christ 3 times, the Lord reminded him of what he had told him just before that. And that led to Peter's change of mind. That led to his deep and thorough repentance. Luke 22, verse 61. Peter's talking from experience. Your best lessons are what you've learned yourself from the Lord. And that's what Peter's giving us here. You know, he'd been telling the Lord, I'll never fail you. I'll never deny you. I'll die for you. Well, we know what happened. He denied the Lord three times. And then after the third time, the cock crew, that was Peter's first clue. The crew was a clue. What'd the Lord say? Before the cock has crowed twice, you shall deny me thrice. Well, the cock crew, and notice what the Lord did, verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine that? Here's the Lord bound. He's being interrogated and probably beaten. And Peter's there warming himself at the fire with those who'd arrested him. And he's denying him. Must have been within sight, if not within hearing. And the Lord, imagine that look. When the Lord turned and looked at him. Well, that's all it took. Peter broke right there. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord reminded him. And that's all it took to get him straightened out. So the Lord did that for Peter. Now Peter, in turn, is using this epistle to do that for others. He's ministering to his brethren in the same way the Lord ministered to him. He says in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, that was the very reason he wrote it. For this very thing. Ever write someone a letter just to remind them of something? Probably have, right? I just told my wife for the fifth or sixth time, remind me that I have to get the car inspected this month. I should have asked Al to remind me. That's what, yeah, I should have done. But she reminds me every time I tell her, but then I forget again. Then I'll think of it and say, please remind me. I got to just, hopefully she'll remind me when I call the place and ask.
People remind you.
Yeah, that's true. That's another reminder.
Yeah.
That's right. All right.
They're encouragers.
Yeah. Motivators. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which, so he's saying both his epistles for this purpose, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I'm writing these two epistles to remind you so that you'll have these things in the front of your minds instead of letting them get lost. Why do we need to be reminded so much? It's because we too easily forget vital truths. You know, when Christ was walking around his apostles, now, you know, you talk about being easy to forget. Imagine seeing the Lord taking a little boy's lunch and feeding thousands of people with it. Oh, well, I forget that in a few hours, you know. Minor event like that, right? How could you ever forget that? And they did. Look at Matthew 16. A miracle like that, and they forgot it? Well, they not only forgot what happened, but they didn't get the point of it. You know, it didn't make the impression it should have made. You ever had someone remind you something? It was like, oh man, why didn't I catch that? If I had just paid attention, this wouldn't happen. I would have been, you know, thinking about it. Well, here's what it says in Matthew 16, verse 5. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Well, there's another forgetfulness. Now, for Peter to forget food, that's bad. You know how he liked to eat, right? Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And, of course, at this point, the apostles were still good dispensationalists. They took everything literally. So, leaven, let's see. You use leaven, that's yeast. Yeast you put in dough to bake bread. We don't have bread? Oh, he's rebuking us for not bringing lunch. Right? And so he says, they reasoned among themselves. Now, this is something they talked out. You know, if I gave you a point and I said, all right, now discuss this and come up with your conclusion. And you all got together and said, oh, let's see. He said this and that means this. Let's come up with our understanding of what he's telling us here. And then you come back and say, all right, here's what you meant. Well, how did they do? It's because we have taken no bread. In other words, if you're going to buy yeast to make your bread, don't go to the Pharisees' bakery because they have some of the worst yeast you ever had and the bread will be terrible. Is that what they're saying? Yeah. Notice, do ye not yet understand? Now, why didn't they understand? Neither remember. The basic problem was they didn't remember, so they didn't understand. The five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up. Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. See, we're not the only ones that are kind of slow sometimes to catch things. They had the same problem. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. If they'd only remembered those miracles, they would have been able to put two and two together and figured out what he was saying. So much of the teaching ministry in the church is not always finding something new and different. Many times it's repeating familiar truths. Now, there are some things that will be new, but we're not always looking for something new. Remember what Jesus talked about, who was a good scribe in his kingdom in Matthew 13? Matthew 13, 51 and 52, where Jesus had just told a number of parables about his kingdom. And Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Now, that's pretty good. You ever read through Matthew 13 and said, I understood all that? Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like a man unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. New and old. Not only new. Now, if we're really going to learn something well, we need to hear our lessons over and over again without becoming weary of them. Remember what Isaiah 28 says is the proper way to learn doctrine? And when you feed a baby, you don't just stuff its mouth with the whole dish of food at once and say, chew and swallow. Give it a little bit at a time. It has to be cut up and prepared, and bite by bite, mouthful by mouthful, swallow by swallow, and eventually they're fed and nourished. Well, it says, verse 9 of Isaiah 28, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Building up bit by bit, little at a time, going through things until they've gotten it. That's why sometimes we don't seem to be making progress. It seems like a slow, tedious, long, wearisome effort. And yet, if we keep at it and be consistent and don't despair and get discouraged, we will be growing on a regular basis. That's the encouragement. We wish we could grow by leaps and bounds, you know, just read a book of the Bible and get everything it means and put it into practice and go to the next one, but sometimes one little principle, one little concept, and you have to go over it and finally get it to where you feel you got a good handle on it, and then go over it a little more and make sure you got it down pat. And it's quite a labor, but a valuable and a worthwhile one. Well, when was Peter going to perform this service of remembrance for them? Occasionally? Now and then? Once in a while? I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. So he didn't only occasionally remind them of the truths of God. He did it constantly and continually. You know, they that feared the Lord spake how one to another? Often, one to another. Often. We need to keep on putting these things before each other. So Peter's saying that he would seize every opportunity to rehearse the gospel over to them. You ever get glutted with sermons and lessons? Oh, that's too much. That's too many. I can't take any more. Well, Peter said, I won't be negligent to keep reminding you, so we need not be negligent to keep being reminded and keep hearing these things. What did Paul say in Acts 20:31? What was his ministry like? You know, Peter and Paul are two of the primary apostles. Right, he tells them, therefore watch. And again, he reminds them, remember. I got a question for you. How can we be commanded to remember? When you forget something, is it usually intentional? Do you want to forget it? Well, how can I be required to do something I can't help? I think forgetting is not usually intentional, but it might be the result of negligence. We aren't careful to keep these things before us, and we too easily let them get away. In other words, we could have done more to remember, and because we didn't, we forget. Well, he says, remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not. I never quit for 3 years to warn everyone night and day with tears. So you have Sunday morning sermon, Paul be there weeping and warning. Sunday night, weeping and warning. Well, see you Wednesday night. No, Monday morning, there he is again, weeping and warning. Monday night, weeping and warning. Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. Doesn't this guy ever quit? No, he didn't. Night and day with tears. What is 2 Timothy 4:2? He tells Timothy when he should preach the word. When it's convenient and when it's easy. When it's comfortable and when people want to hear it. He charges him in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Instant, that means quick and immediate and constant. In and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now look at that. Preach the word. Rebuke. Exhort with longsuffering, with doctrine. In season, out of season, be instant. Doesn't even seem to be room for vacations. In other words, keep at it. Don't quit. You know, and we not only soon forget God's word ourselves, but we always have the devil trying to pluck it out of our hearts. We have the world trying to distract us and make us so busy we don't have time to think about it. And so all these things are trying to take the word out of our minds all the time, from every side. So how much do we need someone there to keep telling us continually and constantly and helping to counteract those adverse influences that are around us that would try to make us forget? We'll close with 2 Thessalonians 2:5. Paul makes a simple statement. He's teaching about the coming apostasy and the coming man of sin. In verse 5 he says, "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" Or it's, "I'm not writing to you something you haven't heard. I've already gone over this with you. I've taught you this. And now I'm writing it to you to remind you of it. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time." In other words, you know this, and I'm writing because I'm reminding you of it, so that you may remember what I told you when I was there and now write to you while I'm away. So, a ministry of remembrance. Teaching, yes, because even though you're hearing old truths, it's like they're new, and every time you hear them, you get more out of them. That's why the gospel never really grows old. It's always fresh and new because it's a living word and an eternal word, and a word that is infinite in its depths, inexhaustible word. Some people think I labor passages and try to beat a lot out of them. I'm just basically sharing the thoughts that come to my mind when I read it. If I sat out and tried to think it through for months and read it over and over and had more time to prepare, I'm sure many other things would come to mind from that same passage that I'm not speaking about. And I believe that God is giving me what he wants us to have at that time. The important things that are, you know, necessary for us as he knows our situation. But anyway, that's the great thing about the Bible. If I was to teach through 2 Peter, start over again, you might say, "Wow, did he just do that? I don't remember saying that." Or, well, I may never have said it. You may just not remember it. But you can't study the Bible too much unless it becomes a hindrance to other duties we have. But there's always more there for us. It's the only thing that doesn't get old and stale and that you can use up and say there's nothing there more for me. I've exhausted it. Can't happen. You know, we're not in this world long, but if we were in here a lot longer, we would never tire of reading and studying the Scripture, and we certainly would never get to the point where there was nothing more for us to learn from it, or to relearn from it, because we do forget. So Peter was not negligent to remind us of these very things. Like Paul said, "I already told you them, but I'm going to remind you of them again just the same."